Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live, and I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines for your calls this last hour. The number to dial is a new one. It's 512-266-0642. We are now taking your calls here on War Room Live, 512-266-0642. We'll go to those just as soon as they come rolling in. That's 512-266-0642. Now taking your calls. It is 5:06 p.m. Central Time here on May 21st, 2026. I got a couple of good videos to show you, like good in the sense of positive. And look, I know people have conflicting opinions on Jake Lang. I have conflicting opinions on Jake Lang. But he gave a speech in Texas about to a city council meeting that I think was absolutely incredible, extremely powerful, and the exact type of energy that we now need. Here is Jake Lang giving a speech about the invasion of Texas. Let's watch.
Texcoistan, what are you guys doing here? Inviting the enemy to eat at the table with you and they steal all your food. Your children will grow up without a place to be in because every single one of their jobs, and you saw the children that were brought up on this stage, not one of them is a heritage American. Not one of them was a Texan. Your replacement is here, Americans, and it is coming faster and faster. The Hindus and the Muslims are teaming up to take over Texas. This is not Muslims versus Hindus here. They are here to eradicate the Christians. They are here to drive us out of our homelands. You have to understand, these people do not want to assimilate. These people have not come here to become Americans. They have come here to drag their third world culture over to our country. If Jainism, if Hinduism is so great, why are their countries holes. They are bringing this ideology here to turn the third world is not a place. It is a people. It is an ideology. It is a way of life. It is a culture. And when they bring their people, their way of life, their ideology and their culture over to America, do you think it's going to remain American? Have you ever looked across the plains of Texas and said, I need 5 million Jeets here right now to in the street? No one ever has. No one has ever looked across and said, the football fields, the games,
excuse
all
me,
of
sir.
The amazing cowboy.
You'll
I have a First Amendment right, and I can curse if I want to.
Watch my language.
I can talk if I want to. No one has ever looked across the plains of Texas and the football games and all the amazing cowboy culture and the raw American spirit here and said, let's replace this with Muslims. Let's replace this with Hindus. Texas should remain for Texans. Have you lost your mind selling your children's future? Did you see the Boys and Girls Club of America standing on this stage? Is it even recognizable to what you would have seen the Boy Scouts 15 or 20 years ago? It is a replacement. It is not right. Just because it's happening to white people does not make it okay. You guys are complicit. This is the jellyfish generation, half boomer, half Gen X. You don't care about my children's children. You are selling out this country to people who do not want to live near you. They want to build their own separate, segregated zones where they practice their religion, their food, their way of dress, their language. They don't care about white culture. They don't care about American culture. They don't like you. They will replace you. Their culture in both Muslim and Hindu is pedophilia. And I have the child marriage in Mensa Maruti, which is one of their religious texts. It suggests a 30-year-old man marry a 12-year-old woman or a 24-year-old man is perfect for an 8-year-old girl. What the f*** is wrong with you inviting these people into our country? This is a...
incredibly powerful. What is there to say other than... we need more of that. We need a hell of a lot more than that, of that exact thing. And I know some people are like, but isn't Jake Lang Jewish? It's like, yeah, I guess. Where's the white Christian guys giving the speech? I'd play that video too. I don't care who it is making the speech, getting the idea across. I'm in favor of it. Now, if you say this is just a plot to, cause... a culture clash. Okay. I don't, what's the problem? There is a culture clash. This is a major problem. You want to see? You want to see a graduation video of UT Dallas? Clip 15 here. This is the 2026 UT Dallas graduation walkout. Let's watch.
It's literally all Indian people. It's literally all Indian people. I mean, there are entire cities in Texas that are just all Indian now.
In 20 years, they went from like 75-80% white to like 20% white because Indians and Muslims moved in. We're being replaced. It's a real threat. And he's exactly right. They do not have any interest whatsoever in becoming American. They don't even pretend to. So why would we allow this? Why are we allowing this? Nobody else would allow this. And it's literally because we've been brainwashed into thinking that it's somehow rude or bad to stand up for ourselves. It's not. It's not. It's actually normal. It's actually what everybody else does. It's why they're able to screw us over like this. And I got, you know, other videos to go to as well. Let's go to, I think this is clip 24 here, because this is, let me make sure. Oh, well, no, that's a different one that I do want to get to here in just a second. See, some of the videos that I brought in didn't get transferred over. But you see it a lot. You'll see videos of people talking about places they like. You'll even see it in your own life. I've had it in my life. Where white people are still afraid to notice things like race. And like this woman in particular is talking about her trip to the beach when there happened to be a teen takeover event. And she's just like, what is going on? Like, what is this? Why can we not just go to the beach and have a good time? I really, if we can pull that video in, it's really good because she's trying real hard not to, you know, point out what the obvious difference is between when she did her senior skip day at the beach 20 years ago and the kids who are there now. They're different kids. It's not the same people. It's not the same culture. It's not the same attitudes. And like, that's fine. Except that our culture is being destroyed. If you want to have your culture over there, it's fine. But our culture has to be preserved and maintained and not allowed to be taken over because, you know, and the example I always use is like Christmas Eve that, you know, Mexican people shoot off fireworks. And it's all kind of that type of attitude. It's like, well, the black culture is like a lot more rambunctious, a lot wilder. You get these teen takeovers, you get fights and insanity and chaos. And like, that's what they like. That's what they love. That's what they do. It's, you know, there's a bunch of videos about this over this last week. Cause it's like a national problem now. It's like beaches in Rhode Island and North Carolina and New Jersey. New Jersey had to send out police with riot shields to stop the spring break, you know, beach takeover. And these videos, you see them posted, and the thing, you know, posted under it is like, there was one, I think it was in Rochester, and it was like, Rochester Fair never fails to win or whatever, you know. And it's like a video of like a bunch of people brawling and fighting each other and pulling each other's hair, and the, you know, the subtitle of the post is like, another great day at Rochester. It's like, it never fails to, you know, be fun. It's like, it's like chaos and outrage. There's nothing fun about that. But if you think that's fun, great. You know, more power to you. Just don't come to our beach, right? We don't have fun that way over here. And there's nothing wrong about insisting that you be provided with the space to indulge in your culture and they be provided the space to indulge in their culture. But when their culture does not permit for other cultures to exist, what are you supposed to do? That's why I bring up the fireworks thing. It's like, it's not like I can impose silence upon them. I can't impose peace on them. I can be quiet. I can be peaceful. But if they're shooting off fireworks, whose culture do you think wins? Whose culture overpowers the other when one is fireworks and the other is quietly reading by the fireside,
right? One of them gets crowded out unless you defend it.
Representative Nancy Mace proposes a constitutional amendment to ban foreign-born citizens from Congress. How is this not a thing already? How do we not already have this on the books? Representative Nancy Mace has proposed a constitutional amendment that would prohibit foreign-born U.S. citizens from serving in Congress, becoming federal judges, or holding Senate-confirmed positions. In a post on X, Mace called the proposed joint resolution long overdue. But here's the problem. It's so long overdue that there's a sizable portion of people in Congress that aren't American citizens. They're probably not going to vote for this, are they? It's sort of one of these problems that is hard to solve because you're supposed to pass a law to stop illegal immigrants, or not illegal immigrants, but from foreign-born Americans from being in Congress, but there already are foreign-born Americans in Congress that don't want to get kicked out, so they're going to vote against it. So how do you reclaim sovereignty when you've already ceded the decision-making power to non-Americans? It's not really possible, is it? You kind of have to just throw the system out and create a new one because it's already been infiltrated and subverted to the point that you can't pass this bill, you can't pass this law. And it's only going to get worse. So there's that. H-1B visa abuses still continue to be just outrageous and flagrant and right in your face. Cisco's Indian president, G2 Patel, fired 4,000 Americans while 4,000 American families process Cisco's layoffs. G2 Patel is doubling down on 1,570 new Indian H-1B hires. Cisco rakes in billions from American taxpayers only to fire 4,000 hardworking Americans and then replace half of them with Indians. And of course, the Indian CEO carries that off. They're not shy about it. And it works. Intel is no longer the company of its founders, Robert Noyce and Gordon Moore, but of Malaysian-born Lip Bu Tan, its CEO since March 2025. Microsoft is led by Satya Nadella, Alphabet Inc. by Sundar Pichai, Adobe by Shantanu Narayan, IBM by Krishna, YouTube by Mohan. Fisher King responds to this. Good read on H-1B visa abuses. Anyone skeptical that big tech works hard to keep wages down, recall that Apple, Google, Intel, and others were hit with an antitrust suit back in 2010 focused on agreements not to poach workers. They didn't want bidding wars for their employees, which drive up wages. The antitrust actions were settled for big money in 2014, and since then, the use of H-1B visas has gone up quite a lot, perhaps partly in response to big tech having to give up on collusion as a wage-reducing mechanism that drives up their share prices. Since many of these tech jobs pay six figures, the savings quickly add up. Borges estimates that companies on average save nearly $100,000 per worker over 6 years by hiring an H-1B worker rather than an American. The arrangement redistributes wealth from those who compete with immigrants to those who use immigrants. Borges wrote in 2016 that in turn helps account for the soaring stock prices of big tech since the 2008 financial crash. And I would just say, think about how little of savings that really is. I mean, Google prints money. I looked it up at one point. They make billions of dollars a day, like insane amounts of money. And they will destroy an American's life, bring in an Indian so that they can save $100,000 over 6 years. It's like nuts. It's peanuts compared to what they rake in, compared to what they make, compared to their like profit margins. They could easily afford to pay American wages, easily. It would be a better company if they did. But they're willing to sacrifice top-tier American talent for Indian fraudsters, which we've shown the numbers. The vast majority of Indians who get H-1B visas or come over on it, it's all fraud. Their diplomas are fraudulent. They pay for them in diploma mills. I mean, it is a gigantic pipeline of fraud from the very beginning to the very end. And yet they're willing to bring those people in and replace you to save less than $25,000 a year. Save $20,000 a year, more or less. And they're willing to do that, save that pocket change when they make literally billions of dollars every single day. So it's not about the money. It might be a convenient excuse and maybe you can drive the stock prices up. But again, that's all fraudulent anyway, because
who would invest in a company, you know, filled with Indian scab workers, globally sourced Indian scab workers, over a bunch of well-paid Americans who can be relied upon, who have families and histories here. It's just hatred of America. That's the only thing that motivates it. And, you know, they love Indians because the higher class Indian, the higher caste Indians, are technically ethnic, but basically act like white people. So it's very convenient. But also just the ethnic nepotism is really off the charts with the Indian community. They're not shy about it. They really just think we're idiots for letting them do it. So we deserve it, I guess. They have a point. Out to your calls now. Who's been on the longest? Let's go to Jeff in Pennsylvania. He's on about Minnesota fraud on line three. We'll go to Jeff here in just a second. Make sure I know. Okay, you're... All right, hold on. It's a new phone system. Yeah, I think he was just on. Let's go to Jeff in Pennsylvania now. All right, Jeff, what's up? All right, you're on the air. Good, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good.
I have two questions, really, about this Minnesota fraud scam, fraud situation. First one is, today they talked about, you know, it's really great that they indicted 15 of these fraudsters, and that's all fine and well. But my first question is, they talked about possibly like, in this instance here, this first tranche, $90 million of fraud that was possibly perpetrated by these people. My first question is, where is the money?
That's a good question.
Where did the money go? Did they send it all back to Somalia? Did they spend it? Did they, you know, where did the money go? I mean, it's all fine and well that we're indicting these people, but where's our money? Where's the Minnesota taxpayers' dollars? And they're talking about billions of dollars, and it's all fine and well, but where did it go?
It's a great question. That's a great question. I don't know. Let me find the article, and I'll see if they say that. Because, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it did get sent to Somalia. I mean, it depends on, you know, which fraud you're talking about, but you know, certainly they were funding the Al-Shabaab terrorist group with some of these funds. But yeah, I don't know. To their houses, I guess. You know, they all have fancy houses and cars. That's a great question. Who knows where this money went? I doubt we're ever going to get any of it back. So, and even if we did, probably just go back into the coffers of the government and they'd give it out to some other scam artist they haven't gotten around to indicting quite yet. That's a good question. I'll look. Let me find the article here. I put it in my discard stack. So let me find it, and I'll see if I can get an answer for you. What was your other question?
The question had to do with who's doing – I can't believe that a bunch of Somali pirates have the mental wherewithal to do these things. I mean, I couldn't for the life of me figure out how to start a crooked Medicare, Medicaid program. You know, and I'm a pretty smart guy, but I wouldn't even know where to start. How do these people from less than third world country come over here? Admittedly, they have no economy. They have literally they're just a bunch of pirates. They set up a system all by themselves to steal billions and billions and billions of dollars from the Minnesota taxpayers. I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
Well, there's two things to it, because I completely agree, and I actually meant to bring this point up earlier. For one, they're literally trained how to do this, right? I've seen, you know, accounts of people in the Congo, literally one day some UN tent pops up in their village, and they're going, okay, here's what you do, here's what you say. I mean, in the UK, they just got busted. The people who were actually, you know, in charge of the immigration program, coaching the immigrants to say that they're gay, so that they don't get deported. So, I mean, you know, they didn't come up with that themselves. They don't know what the laws here are, or, you know, what the loopholes are. They're literally informed on how to do that by people who are paid by our government. Our government goes out and says, you need to say this so you get in. You need to say this so you get asylum. You need to say this so you can sign up for welfare. And then they've got people in the local governments. I mean, this is the thing. It is impossible for this to happen without the local government's complicity. It's too much money. There's no way this happened without their awareness. And they probably got a cut off the top, or at least, as we know, Keith Ellison basically got an agreement, a handshake agreement with the Somali community, all, you know, stop the investigations into the fraud and in exchange get your people to vote for me. I mean, we have that on audio. It was recorded and leaked, and we've played it several times on the show. So they didn't come up with this themselves. They did. They were complicit. But the other thing is like the video that we showed of the DOJ guy going, these programs were set up for a high trust society. We didn't have all these fraud controls. And if you remember when Ilhan Omar was asked about it, she said, well, it's y'all's fault for letting it happen, basically, for not having enough guardrails, I think was her exact term. So, you know, whether it was deliberately set up this way or not, basically there was no necessity to like prove you actually needed the help. You could just sign up and, you know, be approved because you had a doctor who said your kid had autism, even when they didn't. I mean, you just check the right boxes and you get free money. And in a way, it is kind of our fault for setting it up like that. Obviously, we didn't intend for a bunch of scam artists to come in and, you know, bankrupt the program, because really what should happen now is the program, all of these programs should end. All of them. So what happens when the programs end? Obviously, people that really do need help, people that really do have autistic kids that they're struggling with, that they need help to manage their life and the care the kid needs, they're going to be screwed over. They're not going to get the help they need because these people scammed all the money. That's the type of second order thinking that Somalis with an average IQ in the double digits literally can't wrap their mind around. But the other thing you have to understand, and we've explained this, and I've not been able to find the video. If anybody listening to my voice has this video, I swear, I so regret not downloading it when I had it. But it was a video of a guy going around the Somali mall in Minnesota, and it was a white guy, and he's filming, and he's walking around, and he's going, this is crazy. These people just leave their stores open. Their stores that you go in, it's like, you know, clothes and T-shirts and hats and whatever else, and the door's just wide open, and there's nobody manning the store. And he's walking around going, this is such a high trust society. They don't even lock their, you know, they don't even man their stores in the mall. And yet nobody steals anything. So understand that within the Somali community, they have extremely high trust. They don't steal from one another. They don't screw one another over. This is a group of people scamming another group of people. And the scamming group of people is all in on it. They know what they're doing. But it's not just because they're genetically incapable of being trustworthy or, you know, whatever else. It's a deliberate attack from one group against another. So again, if it was just these people are so, they're just genetically pirates, and so they're just stealing from everybody they can, that would be one thing. But they don't steal from each other. They steal from us. It's worth knowing. We'll be right back. When